In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, you might be asked, why does this gospel appear in Lent about the multiplication of loaves and fishes? And one of the answers could be that later on in the same sixth chapter of St. John, our Lord prophesies, he teaches that he will one day give his own flesh to eat and his blood to drink. And I would like to read further on today with you from chapter 6 to show you how our Lord used this occasion to ask the people to make that act of faith in him, that one day he would give them, again, as I said, his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. And it was the next day that our Lord made that prophecy. But these people that were in the area, that they were following him, and as we read, they had been following him. He was so magnetic, so powerful, so inspiring in his teaching, that they're even going after him, not having provided enough food for themselves. So our Lord is concerned for them. And what are we going to do? And he asks Philip, whence shall we buy bread? I mean, this is kind of out in the wilderness. It's not inside the city. There's no bread vendors there to sell bread. What are we going to do? So this is the opportunity for our Lord to work an amazing miracle from 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. He's going to multiply them. They're going to keep reaching into the basket of loaves, and also the container for the fish. And they're just going to keep reaching in there thousands of times. And there will be bread and fish for everyone. I find it interesting, too, that our Lord tells them after everyone had eaten their fill, he says, gather up the fragments. So what I think our Lord is teaching us there is not to waste food, not to throw away leftovers. And I know sometimes obviously have to be thrown away if there's any danger of spoilage. You don't want to get sick from that. But our Lord is saying, don't just, freely throw away what's left over. Use it up. Don't let things go to waste. So definitely a lesson insofar as that is concerned. So the people are so impressed with this miracle that they want to make him a king. And Jesus, as he would say later to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. You want me to be a king temporally, but I am a king spiritually. And Jesus hid himself so that they couldn't make him a king. It shows the humility of our Lord. And it shows what he's really all about. And the reason why our Lord would work miracles is to prove his divine mission. And people would have to not just experience the miracle, behold the miracle, but they'd have to make that act of faith. And here's the reason to make the act of faith. He just fed thousands upon thousands of people miraculously. So you should make that act of faith. But many of them did not want to make the act of faith the next day. So let's look further on in chapter 6. The same chapter where we read the miracle. So So again, this is the next day. Our Lord says in his sermon to them after on the following day, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that which endures unto life everlasting, which the Son of Man will give you. They said therefore unto him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he hath sent. This is your spiritual work, to say, I believe in you, Jesus. You are the one sent. You are the Messiah himself. You see, he was preparing them for that act of faith. Would they make it? And again, as we will see, many of them will not make that act of faith. They therefore said to him, what sign therefore dost thou show that we may see and may believe thee? What dost thou work? Isn't that shocking? What sign can we see? They just saw it yesterday, and now they're asking for another sign. You see, the people that didn't make the act of faith, they wanted to follow Jesus because of the miracles. It's an amazing show. But Jesus wanted something deeper than that. I believe is what he's looking for. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, Moses gave you not bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. They said therefore unto him, Lord, give us always this bread. And Jesus said to them, and notice our Lord is developing and expanding upon this teaching, that he's literally going to change bread and wine into his body and blood. And he says next, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. I'm skipping some of these verses for time's sake. But anyway, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So what a beautiful thing there, our Lord saying, even though I am the Messiah, I am Almighty God, still in my human nature, I obey the Father. I do as the Father tells me. Skipping again a couple of verses, the Jews therefore murmured at him because he had said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How then saith he, I came down from heaven? So they're not liking what he's saying. He's saying, I am the bread of life. We don't like that. But if God is saying that, we must believe. Jesus continues, your fathers did eat manna in the desert and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that if any man eat of it, he may not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. That's the third time he's saying this. If any man eat of it, he may... if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. And that's why, my dear brethren, we must receive Holy Communion. Otherwise, we cannot save our souls. What does the church command us to do? The church tells us that at least once a year, and this is, I'm sure, one of the reasons why this gospel is in Lent, because it's a teaching on the duty of annual confession and communion. The church teaches us that to fulfill this command of our Lord, we must receive him at least once a year during Easter time. And obviously go to confession at least once a year. You know, I was catechizing a man, and I was showing him the commandments of the church to receive Holy Communion at least once a year, and his response was, "Is that all?" And he said, "That's what the church teaches us." You know, you would think that maybe the church would say you have to receive Holy Communion at least every month. But I'm not the teaching authority in the church. And the church, at least since the Third Council of the Lateran in 1215, has said, to fulfill our Lord's command, we must receive at least once a year. And Easter time in the United States is from the first Sunday of Lent until Trinity Sunday. So there's 15 weeks for a Catholic to fulfill his duty. That's what it means to be a practicing Catholic. One must do annual confession and communion. And something else that we need to be reminded about is also in danger of death. We are strictly obliged. And why wouldn't we want to receive confession and communion in danger of death? So our Lord is at this point. He worked a miracle the previous day that gives everyone more than enough reason to believe. He's developing this teaching. He says he's the bread of life, and then he comes out with it. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life in you. So Holy Communion then is the pledge of eternal life. We see this beautiful phrase in some of the hymns to the Blessed Sacrament. And of course we must receive worthily. We would not dare to receive our Lord in the state of mortal sin. It would make a sacrilege. But why not receive Holy Communion often? As often as we can. Yes, we have that sense of unworthiness. How can I be worthy to receive Holy Communion? That's Almighty God. However, we don't become more worthy by staying away. So at a minimum, as long as we're in the state of grace and we're fasting 3 hours from food and anything that had alcohol in it, and 1 hour from liquids, go to Holy Communion. You're encouraged. And we participate more fully in the Mass when we receive Holy Communion. There is very definitely a greater degree of participation. So just a couple more verses from our Lord before we close here. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. So there you have it. Jesus abides in us more when we receive him, and we abide in him. We're united with him in a most close physical way, not just spiritually through sanctifying grace, but physically. And that's why those 15 minutes or so after Holy Communion are so precious, because we're united physically with our Lord. And we also know that, well, just again to quote, many therefore of his disciples, hearing it, said, this saying is hard, and who can hear it? And many of them departed. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, even though they had seen the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. They just did not want to say, I believe. And then Jesus said to the 12 apostles, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So our Lord wasn't going to change his teaching, even if his apostles weren't going to accept it. But St. Peter answered, well, Lord, if you have the words of eternal life, if you say that it is, we believe. So as we continue through the Holy Lenten season, today is our midpoint of rejoicing, Laetare Sunday. Let us go back to our fervent observance of penance and extra good works, almsgiving. And let us also realize that we want, our lives need to be Eucharistic in the sense that we have that great awareness of God present in the Holy Eucharist, how much he wants to be part of us, and we want to be part of him. And what a great means, the greatest means of grace right there, him in the most blessed sacrament of the altar. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.